Hello and welcome to my show, Could You Be More Specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stable Podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I've titled it Americans Divided. And what I'm going to be talking about specifically is the recent wildfires that continue to happen here in the state of California, and just the overall press coverage of that, and how does that bridge us all together as a country. And then I'm also going to then probably end up just touching back on some of the things that are happening in the current news today that I kind of wanted to touch on. Just try and change it up a bit and touch on and have a few thoughts on some other things. But I'm going to start with the wildfires here in the state of California. And, you know, obviously it's been an incredible tragedy in what's been happening here in the state of California with people losing their homes, the loss of land, the loss of the animals that have been considered gone throughout this tragedy. And one of the things that I heard mentioned over a few days ago, D.O. Hughley had a video comment where he discusses California and how he felt like there wasn't really a lot of press coverage on the fires. And it's, I mean, I know I've seen some stuff with the NFL and the NBA in terms of Red Cross and donating. Obviously, there's certain things through social media where it's mentioned, but it doesn't really feel like it's a national outcry in the sense of people rallying behind it versus, say, what you've seen, hurricanes when it's in Florida, or what happened in Puerto Rico, unfortunately, this year, or any tornadoes that have ever happened for, you know, whether it's Alabama, Oklahoma, flooding, Louisiana. And he said something where, you know, he was saying that it's also, you know, something that is perpetuated by, you know, the leadership in office. And obviously, you know, President Trump doesn't really care that much for California. And I know he recently was on the grounds, and I know he's made, you know, ridiculous comments in regards to blaming people here in the state of California for the fires. And listen, when you're in a leadership position and it's a crisis, your job is to be a calming force for that. No matter what party you've been in, that's always been the expected level of behavior. It's just positive decorum that you exhibit, you know, stability and strength and a certain level of discipline to want to console people while their lives are being turned upside down. So obviously that's something that's not going to happen with this current president. And to me, it's not a partisan thing here. I mean, I'm not going to say anything in terms of, you know, the name calling that goes out towards him. It's just really an observation of his behavior, and it's erratic, to say the least. But what D.L. Hughley said was something that I do think is true. But we also have to keep in mind, and I would agree, and I agree with him on this, and I think it'll be really good moving forward for us to continue to have this dialogue, is it's always been a divide in America between, you know, people in the state of California versus the Midwest and South, or people in the state of New York versus the Midwest and South. It's always been that way. You know, the Yankee versus Dixie. We still have Civil War reenactments. So this is nothing new. And we've always known that. And I know they've never wanted to promote the quote unquote two Americas thing. And I know I've touched on this on previous pods before. And I look forward to, you know, hearing more comments and your guys' opinion on this. But, you know, I've said it before, is that people have always treated West Coast, the region in particular, California or East Coast states, as the rich grandparents that they don't really care for, but they'll ask them for money. California, New York, Connecticut, and Illinois are one of the four states where they send out more money than what they actually end up taking in. They give away a lot of their revenue to prop up the Midwest and South. Now, if that was something that was actually explained, not just by the president, but people that live in these states, it would give a greater sense of understanding and an awareness of, like, hey, we're on the same side here. We're doing all we can to help you. When someone else is on the ground that's helping you, you might want to pull them up as opposed to just walking past them. And I think that's where I think a lot of the anger, especially with what D.L. Hughley was stating, I think that's where he's trying to get at. And I completely understand where he's coming from. But, you know, being a California native and resident, we've always known that. You know, there was a reason why Silicon Valley, you know, when the Trump presidency happened, I forget the name of this tech guy who's like, I think, 26-year-old, some multi-billionaire, where he's like, hey, everyone keeps talking about Texas succeeding from the union. Hey, why don't California succeed from the union? And then, hey, the country can just do what else they want to do on the other side of it. Now, you don't want that. I mean, no one ideally would want that. But, you know, he's like, we'll be just fine. Now, when he says we'll be just fine, he's not lying. He's literally not lying. But it's always been a contentious relationship between certain states toward the federal government. And, I mean, you saw this, you know, early this year before Jeff Sessions stepped down. I mean, and I've known of him since, you know, when I lived in Birmingham, Alabama for almost 11 years. He always used to preach state rights, state rights, state rights. He's always been one of those type politicians. The moment he became attorney general, he's done so much in every area of commerce to laws to try and mitigate or sabotage certain things in the state of California. And ironically, Bill Maher even touched on that. Like, hey, if you're telling us not to get involved in your stuff, and you got a voting body that continues to support and get behind this, then don't tell us how to do our thing either. So that is something that has always just been there for the most part, especially when it comes to that. But my hope is that hopefully as time goes on, we'll be able to get a much better handle on the fires. Hopefully we can get people to their homes as fast as possible. I hate to sound too, you know, not necessarily too down, but I don't want it to be too somber. But it's really terrible to see every day, if you just look at the news casually for 5 minutes about it. The death toll continues to go up with people. It's continued loss of homes. And then it's also, you continue to see more and more animals disappearing as well. So it's been a really rough week overall. But it is something that I think it warrants talking about. I'm gonna transition into what I recently saw in the news in regards to Andrew Gillum and Stacey Abrams. The both of them have decided to concede in their races. I know that's something that I did touch on previously from before. I think, you know, obviously there's pros and cons to what happened. Obviously, it was great that the voter turnout increased. It's still very low overall in regards to the youth turnout. And obviously, it's been a lot of things put into place between Brian Kemp from Georgia and Rick Scott from Florida. The fact that they had any say in any voting measures, and they both actively worked to, you know, affect voters who wouldn't vote for them, is not the best way to say, hey, we believe in democracy. Brian Kemp in Georgia has, I think they said now over the past several years, has effectively, I think, eliminated almost over 1 million votes that are either predominantly of color or Democratic voters who would be voting. You know, I just don't understand. And I know they says there's a lawsuit that's going to still go through and that can kind of change things. I just don't see how, if even if this was to be a Supreme Court case, how can you say you have a fair election if the person that you're running against has a say in the election that they're competing against? Anybody with any form of logic or sense would say that's not fair. Like, you would immediately disqualify that person, one, from either running, or two, you would just go ahead and then hand over the governor bid to their opponent. Or better yet, they just don't run. Rick Scott should not have been able to run for senator in Florida if he was still maintaining a position that shaped voting machines and where people could vote. Brian Kemp as well. But again, notice what I mentioned. It's Florida and Georgia. And in the South, they invent rules all the time to fit whatever they're doing. And so I know a lot of people are disappointed with that, but just know that there are a lot of people in both Georgia and Florida that won on the Abrams and Gillum ticket, that had they not been on it, there's no chance that they would have won in the counties that they did. And hopefully from this, we'll start to see more people actually run and try and govern in a way that benefits us as a collective immediately, and we have less lifelong politicians. I mean, we'll never get term limits. No one will ever vote for that to go through. It just won't. You can have as many. It would be nice if that became a ballot measure, term limits nationwide. And that'll be something that I would want to see done, whether it's through change.org or anybody that works in any, whether it's ACLU or anyone that works in terms of trying to improve our government. Hey, I'm not the most knowledgeable person on it. I follow it a really good deal, but, you know, I don't know all the details, ins and outs of it. But I just think that would be something really great for us to still have millions and millions of people that don't participate to actually have that on there. Like, hey, you know, let's just start with, hey, let's get rid of lifetime politicians. And so that would mean, you know, no more Nancy Pelosi's, no more Mitch McConnell's. I know, you know, I voted for Maxine Waters. I know that would, if that would have happened, that would eliminate that. But I think if you really want to eliminate special interest groups and lobbyists, if they're not going to be there for no more than 3 terms, I think that would eliminate. We should at least get it to where, hey, you can't be representing your state longer than a mayor does or a governor. Let's do that. Because a lot of them want to get to the 20-year mark so they can get the lifetime health care and all that type of stuff. It's a lot of perks to being in the government, even if people who run on platforms that they hate the government, they love the government. And a lot of times they grow it at a much higher rate. It just depends on what they want to do it for. If it's Republicans, it's usually the Pentagon and military budgets. Those are just some of the thoughts that I had on that. I want to really thank you guys all of your support for the podcast. I'm so happy that it's continuing to grow. I'm so grateful to D. I know he and I are working really hard to continue to give you guys more content in the future. So I thank you guys for sticking with us. Looking forward to continuing moving forward. I know we're going to be doing a lot of really good things in the future. So thank you for listening to my show. Again, I'm your host, Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening. Could you be more specific? Definitely continue to follow more things that are going on with our platform on the Save Podcast. We got more things coming up real soon. I want to thank you guys for all your time, and I hope you guys have a good one and definitely enjoy your upcoming week.